Welcome to Fear Me, a podcast about The Walking Dead.
Fear Me. You don't see me.
Hi, everyone. I'm Kim.
This is Stuart.
And Scott.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of Fear Me podcast. This is episode 31. We're going to be recapping episode 6 of season 2 of Fear the Walking Dead, entitled Psychic Service. I hope I said that right.
Mm-hmm. Well done.
Okay. Did I say that right? Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we had Friday the 13th this past weekend.
Yes, we did.
Did y'all do anything fun? Because I did.
Yeah, I took care of 5 children because my wife was gone. That was awesome.
I didn't help.
It was definitely a Friday of hell.
It was Stuart's Friday the 13th, all right. Yeah.
My fear was at 2 in the morning when my son was screaming out in bloody murder.
Nice.
Oh.
Nice.
Yeah,
with a big poopy diaper.
Yeah, he needed a diaper change.
Wow. What you going to do for Stuart for doing that for you, Kimmy?
Nothing.
What's going to happen on Father's Day?
Probably not a lot.
Stuart, you want to get out of town on Father's Day? Stu, why don't you come on up to Charlotte on Father's Day?
I'm on it.
Yeah, you can totally do that. But I went to Charleston and did a ghost tour on Friday the 13th. And it was probably one of the best ghost tours I've ever been on. If you ever are in Charleston, definitely look up Pleasure. Okay, I'm going to totally butcher this because it sounds really dirty.
It does not sound like a ghost tour at all.
Pleasure Tours, I think, is what it's called. But it's a ghost tour.
What were you doing in Charleston?
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
What was that?
That was great. We did have several black cats cross our paths.
Wow.
During the ghost tour.
Was it tragic?
Well, there was one. There was this one place where he took us. It's supposed to be the most haunted library in the entire country. And directly across the street from that is a gated off cemetery. And you can't see the tombstones from the street, so they're way far back. But he was telling us about this ghost that appears. It's a woman dressed in white, and she appears periodically at night. And as he's telling this, I see something moving way in the back.
Oh my God.
And I was like, I grabbed Lorena, who is Ross's wife. She was with me. I grabbed her arm and I was like, oh my God, what is that? It was a freaking black cat. Scared the shit out of me.
Did you see that?
Was everybody in the tour just like in a huddle, like looking around?
Yes,
like,
they were.
Pushing the weak people out to the outside.
Yes.
Was everybody holding a rope?
It was awesome. We had a great
Let's
time.
Let's not get lost out there, folks.
Yeah, yeah. And Friday was also my birthday. So, yeah,
happy
there's
birthday,
that.
Blah, 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 blah.
Which is why Kim doesn't owe me anything.
Right, because yes. That was my birthday trip.
Okay.
And I am recovering
good God.
From... Shut up, Stuart. I am recovering from a very bad sinus infection, so I'm losing my throat, my voice. So I sound weird and scratchy. Sorry.
Well, let me ask you this, Kim.
Yeah?
What you drinking?
Oh, well, tonight's drink is something very simple. It's just Abita Brewing. It's Purple Haze.
Oh.
I like the little raspberry taste to it. It's different. It's not... Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not your normal type of beer, but it's really good.
But it's apropos. If you look up the Purple Haze beer, if you look at the label, it's got the Day of the Dead guy on there, right?
Yeah, nice. It sure does. Yeah, nice. We bought this over the weekend, or Stuart bought it over the weekend, and it's perfect. And it reminds me of Prince.
Did you go to our favorite beer store to get it?
We did not.
No, we didn't make it to Growler Time for that one. Sorry, Growler Time. Yeah, it's not by choice. We'd rather go to Growler Time, but
every time, time is Growler Time.
Oh, you know, when we were in Charleston, we tried Holy City. That was pretty good.
Yeah,
I tried their Pilsner. It was I highly recommend it.
That's a local brewery down there.
Yeah, that's a Charleston brewery.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, what are you drinking? What you drinking?
What you drinking? I'm drinking Noda Brewery, which is in Charlotte. Mm. My favorite India Pale Ale. It's Hop, Drop, and Roll.
Very good.
One of my faves, and I would recommend it to anybody. You can actually get it outside of Charlotte these days in some specialty beer stores. So if you do run across one, folks, it's definitely worth a try.
Noda's the brewery?
Noda. Yep. It's also an area of Charlotte. North Davidson.
You have a lot of breweries now.
Yeah, there's about, I think they said there's like 22 breweries in Charlotte right now.
Good Lord, are you serious?
Yes, yes, it's insane.
That's all those bankers crying over their beer.
Hey, my boss is actually part owner in a brewery.
Huh.
It's all those bankers counting their money over that beer.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I think I'll bring one of their beers on next week and share that one with you.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Okay.
Or you could bring like a 12-pack down here and share that with me.
There's always that.
That's your Father's Day weekend thing.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Okay. So, what did you guys think about the episode?
I thought it was good. There was actually a crap load of stuff in this one.
Yeah,
I like the start with the pastor and the bloodied-eyed congregation, the development of the mom, which we were anticipating anyways, mm-hmm. because Luis had kind of gone into like the whole explanation of how much of a badass she was. But she was cool, smart, and yet eerie, kind of mm-hmm. evil at mm-hmm. the same time, which was great. And I kind of bittersweet moment with Luis getting killed because I didn't want him to get killed, but I called it before the episode started. So
you did call it.
When it happened, I was like, oh, yeah. But then I was like, oh, well, maybe there's a chance he'll come back, though.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't. He's a goner. But again, I had the mom kind of jumped in there with a little eerie excitement about how he might still be able to show up. So anyways, it was a good episode.
There's some weird stuff going on with the mother there.
Yes.
Kim, what did you think?
Yeah, I really like this episode too. I didn't get home last night until like the episode was about halfway over, so I had to rewatch it today. But I really liked it. I like that we're finally in Mexico. I don't like how we arrived in Mexico. I wish they could have talked about that a little bit more, to, you know, the struggle to get it over the border and on land and all that stuff. But I really like the congregation stuff. Anything that has to do with the Catholic religion. The Catholic religion is very, we grew up Catholic, so I'm not saying anything bad. But
it's very
I
mystic.
I can say a whole bunch of
yeah,
bad.
It's very mystic. You know, it's kind of creepy in ways. Some
is.
Of the things that Catholics believe in and the different traditions and that sort of thing. So bringing the Catholic faith into it was really cool to see, you know, what happened there. And then it was super sad that both Luis and Thomas Abigail both died in this episode. That was horrible.
Yeah, totally agree.
And I felt totally so bad for Strand because at one point he just looked so frail when he was sitting next to Thomas Abigail. And I just felt really bad for him. So anyways, I think there's a lot that happened in this episode. A lot to talk about. And especially mm-hmm. some crazy, creepy stuff to talk about. And so, yeah, I really liked it.
No, you hit the ball out of the park on that. There was tons of stuff to talk mm-hmm. about. Overall, I thought it was a really good episode. I know the first time I watched it, it left me with a lot more questions than answers.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I was thinking, well, it's going to get cleared up in the end. All right, I'll figure it out. The second time I watched it, I got more of the answers back a little bit, so I wasn't quite as confused about what was going on. But, you know, Stuart, when you're talking about Luis's mom, you mm-hmm. know, when I thought Luis was, when Luis was talking about his mom being a badass, I thought he was talking about her as like being almost like a gunslinger badass, you know? but it wasn't that. She was actually, it's her philosophy on things that made her different.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? When he was talking, his quote was, I think his quote was like, death is a way to a new life.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. When they're getting on the raft.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
when he's talking to Nick and
right.
getting on the raft.
And I didn't really place it as meaning that much, or didn't know what it meant, I guess. But mm-hmm. now I do. And it was all about when he was saying that this this situation is perfect for her is because she believed that the dead were among them all along. And now she feels she's been validated.
Yeah.
Yeah, this must have been like the awakening to her.
Yeah. So when Louise was talking about her being a survivor in this kind of situation or, you know, where I thought it was meant that she was just a real badass. No, I meant that it was her spirituality. It was her philosophy, everything else that made her able to survive in all this.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong. She's got some badass in her, but that wasn't the angle I was thinking he was coming from.
Right.
No, this was right up her alley. This was exactly what she preached and was kind of living for.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Yeah, and Kim, I agree with you. I totally was upset that Louise got knocked off and Thomas Abigail, too, because I was like, man, I really wanted to see these characters a little bit more.
I know. I really wanted to see more interaction between Thomas Abigail and Strand and to see how Abigail handles the new group coming in and that sort of thing.
And I enjoyed watching Louise's interaction with Strand.
Yeah, I did too.
I mean,
and even Madison involved the two of them.
What's Spanish for asshole?
I know, that was awesome. And then what? But somebody said asshole in Spanish. That's awesome. Right. I was like, perfect.
That was good. No, I thought at the start with Thomas was going to the congregation, or actually tell the pastor to...
He was trying to stop them from attacking Cecilia's compound. We find this out later. Because he said they would all die doing it. And he was saying, you know, you're just taking death for death. The interesting thing is, in this, and I'm not sure if you guys saw it or not, but was Thomas saying that Cecilia, he doesn't necessarily believe what Cecilia believes? Because it was almost like he was saying, listen, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. It's crazy, but you don't want to attack there because they're just going to wipe you out.
That's the impression I got.
Well, what they were doing was they were gearing up to attack the dead, but she did not think they were dead.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Yeah, she thought it was just their next step, as she was saying.
Well, I think they were gearing up to attack her, too, because she was keeping the dead.
That's what I got the impression of.
She is the evil that the priest was talking about in his sermon.
Right, right.
In my opinion. That's what he was talking about. He was talking about Cecilia as being the evil.
Right. That's what I think, too. When Thomas first drove up, the way he was driving, I felt like he was trying to warn them to, you know, like, back off. Like, she's serious. She means business. And the people at my compound are armed to the hilt. And they're going to kick your ass if you try to come in there. It was a little confusing at first, but I think that was the gist of it. What I didn't understand was why they lingered on his truck for so long. Like, they were trying to show off the Ford symbol or something.
That's a good point. I don't know. That may be the truth.
Oh, you mean when he first pulled up and they're like, I think it was a Chevy, actually, so it didn't work.
See, I wonder about Thomas's relationship with Cecilia.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, even the priest, you know, as the priest was dying, by the way, I got to say this. What poison makes you bleed from your eyes? What the hell was that?
That was the first indication that something was a little bit wonky.
It was creep show.
It was
creep
like
show,
the Virgin
everybody.
Mary bleeding from her eyes.
Yeah. What poison does that?
Until you got deeper into the episode, I was like, well, what the hell is going on? Like, maybe this was some clue to something else that had happened with this disease that's passing through everybody.
Well,
that's what I was thinking, too. Remember season 4 of The Walking Dead when the walkers were bleeding from the eyes?
Right.
And the flu had gone through the prison? That's the first thing I thought of.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it wasn't that.
Well, and of course, I got kind of the feeling that you brought up, Kim, when you texted me about this beginning, that it was it had a very supernatural feel to it. So I was kind of like, you know, is this evil getting to these people or something like that? But I didn't think the show would really have a supernatural side to it, you know?
No, I would hope not.
I would hope not. But it definitely, I think it definitely wanted to lead you down that path.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because of the bleeding out of the eyes and everybody who started swooning when they started talking about it. And, you know, we weren't aware that they had gotten poisoned.
Right, right, right. But we did get to see a lot of zombie children.
Yes, there were a lot of zombie children.
Yes, there were.
A lot of head splitting.
That little girl with the cute dress on, and mm-hmm. and they at the end of that scene, they show her laying on the ground, and her head is actually split. Like, I didn't see that the first time.
It's cleaved, yeah.
Oh, my God. That was awesome. Poor kid, but still. Sure,
certainly shook up Nick.
Yes, it did.
Yeah, Nick was not comfortable with that after he did it. Mm-mm. I mean, I was actually surprised he did do it, because you could see he was almost kind of thinking about it before he swung the axe.
Yeah.
And then they went away and like had like a few other zombies killed off, and then came back to Nick, and he was just sitting there on the ground staring at the girl.
And I tell you what, I know it happened a little bit later, but the scene with him and Cecilia, where Nick comes in there and is looking for something to eat, and they have their dialogue.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the look on Nick's face is great acting.
Yes.
I mean, really. He was sitting there eating. He was joking about stuff. And also, you know, she said, well, what is really wrong with you? And you just saw his face crumble.
Yeah. He's an awesome actor. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. He really is. And you just felt his pain and his, you know, bewilderment. I thought it was really a good, good scene.
I agree. I thought so, too.
And it kind of defined Nick going forward, that, you know, Nick has always put himself off as being rather cavalier.
Yeah.
But there's a lot more going on there.
Well, what did you think about Chris standing over Madison while that walker was on top of her?
Danger, Will Robinson, danger.
Freak as a kid.
I didn't take it as much of a deal until Alicia got all freaked out about it. Like, I mean, you know, he wasn't doing anything, but I kind of thought he was frozen in the moment, too, until Alicia started getting all pissed off at him about it.
His facial expression didn't change a whole lot after Alicia yelled at him.
I got the impression that he had frozen. But then, as the camera stayed on his face a little bit longer, it looked like his eyes changed ever so slightly. Mm-hmm. Like, he was like, well, what happens if I do just stand here? Is she going to get bit? Or will she save herself?
Yeah, I mean, there was a little bit of cognitive battle going on in his head. You know, he did take I think he did pause and think to himself a little bit. I think it was more a hesitation than a freeze.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Hmm. I definitely was surprised of all the people that he wouldn't be going after, you know, one of the infected.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it seemed like he was most prepared to do something like that, so... Him not doing something, kind of calls it to question as to what the hell was he doing.
And I was a little confused, too, at the time, because I had stepped out and missed the conversation he had with his dad on the boat, where his dad kind of let it out that Madison wasn't believing him. Which, number one, why in the hell would he say that?
Because he's stupid. There's no reason.
I think Travis is going to be the first one off the island. His character is going into a dangerously bad area.
Yes.
And it's also, I want to talk about it later, but I think him leaving the show will only boost Madison's position.
For real.
That's true. Yeah, he is kind of an anchor to her.
God, right. Maybe he'll
we'll talk about that one a little bit later. Maybe he'll get
killed off next episode.
It very well could be. I could certainly see it. I really can. His position is much less relevant every episode.
We really do need a big death in order to make the show relevant, because
They're losing tons of side characters, but they haven't really had the real.
I know. Come on, Luis, Thomas, Abigail. Those were good characters, and yet we're keeping Chris and Travis around.
Exactly.
Our
original dysfunctional family. I'm very. I really am having a hard time buying Madison and Travis as being a couple. They really have no chemistry at all.
The actress, Kim Dickens, who plays Madison, is driving me nuts.
Why?
She's so dry. And I just... The character of Madison does not intrigue me at all.
Really? She's just too tough all the time?
Yeah, she hardly ever smiles.
I'm kind of the opposite. I mean, I totally agree with you. I mean, I know what you're saying. I totally agree with you. She doesn't have what looks like a loving bone in her body.
Right.
But she's got strong maternal interests, and she's also got strong leadership skills. And I think material that happened in this episode will do nothing more than boost her position in the group.
She'll be the
top of the business model of our gang.
The character is like that, sure, but the actress herself is very dry and makes that character very dry. But when you're talking about the character of Madison, I think watching her interact with strong people like Strand is totally intriguing. Watching her interact with Travis is like fingernails on a chalkboard.
Yeah, totally.
I can't stand it. And Travis is driving me nuts too, because he's stupid for one thing. He's making very stupid decisions. And I don't know. There's just something about him that I just don't like. I would much rather watch Strand and Madison than him.
Mm-hmm. I agree. But you're talking about two strong figures butting heads.
Yeah.
One thing I did like in this episode, and, you know, it happened a little bit later in the episode, but I did enjoy the fact that there did seem to be a little bit of a friendship coming between Madison and Strand.
Not a little bit. I think there's a lot of it.
Because he made that quip at her that I thought was hilarious when she said, "Oh, well, I probably wouldn't be as invasive if this situation was differently." And he goes, "Oh, no, you know you would."
Yeah. Well, I mean,
right.
Just the fact that Madison is the one that brings the tray into the bedroom for Strand and Thomas means that there's a trust there. Strand trusts Madison and vice versa.
And he appreciated that.
And he appreciates that. And she sees he's in bed with his lover, basically. And I think it kind of took her aback a little bit, but she kept going with the flow of what she was doing. But I think that made her respect him more too, because he's allowing her to see a very private part of him. And he's a very strong character, and he doesn't break those barriers down very easily. So you know that he respects her as a person.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Without a doubt. And he obviously Thomas could see it too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because of the fact that what he said to Maddie afterwards,
right,
about her, she needed to protect Strand. But it also leads me to say this about that is a contributing factor in my thinking as to why Madison becomes even stronger in this thing, is because Thomas was recognizing her as the protector.
Uh-huh.
And with Strand, you know, in the end, choosing not to die with him, you know, and so forth, he's putting himself at odds with Cecilia and their people.
Right.
And Madison will have to protect him.
Mm-hmm.
It will have to be Madison coming to his protection. And if that's the case, then Madison is really top dog.
Yeah, agreed.
So I think Madison will be the Rick figure in this. And if Travis gets wiped out, then she becomes angry, and then she becomes even more Rickish.
Yeah,
that's right. A good point.
Well, she's definitely getting set up for it.
Mm-hmm.
They said on The Talking Dead last night that Kim Dickens has been fighting for her character to be the Rick Grimes of Fear.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine. Great.
So she's fighting on screen and off.
Yes.
So obviously she never loses that stern look.
No, she really doesn't, man. I tell you, even when you see her in an interview, like she was on The Talking Dead one time, she's not a real charming person.
So why the hell did you ask me that?
Exactly. She's very staunch.
But she makes a great Rick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
Without the craziness.
Again, you don't know her backstory. So,
right.
Know, one of the reasons Travis is probably attracted to her, or is the only one that is still around, is because of how forgiving he is, because she's probably a bitch.
Yeah.
So at least that's how she's built up to be. And it's probably from her background, whatever happened to her. She has a connection with Nick and, you know, him going through all this drug use stuff. And I don't know, there's something more there. And it's not just dealing with the ex-husband, you know. I think she dealt with some tough shit.
Without a doubt. I mean, because you remember her conversation with Alicia at one point when Alicia was snoozing on the couch. Mm-hmm. And Alicia was talking about how they would always, when they got a babysitter, they'd always find Alicia in front of the TV like that, trying to stay up. And she asked her why, and Alicia said, because I never knew if you were coming home.
Right.
Mm.
Yeah, and that was mentioned, I think, in the first season, too, about her not being around.
So there's something that went on with her and her ex.
Yeah.
Huh. That was a good catch. I didn't... Because when she said that, I just assumed that was like any other child who says, oh, mommy, please don't leave, but, you know, you're just going to the grocery store, and they don't... Right. But they think you're going for, like, days at a time.
And you're only gone for like 3 hours. I mean, come on.
I still felt like that she was making a point to point out the fact she didn't think her mom was coming back.
No, that is a good point, Scott. Well done.
Well, thank you.
But I still want to deal with, like, okay, did you guys think, who did you think was killed on the boat when the
shooting started?
Yeah, the deal was happening, when the deal was going down.
I figured the militia or the soldier guys were.
Yeah,
it was. I thought it was shocking when we actually saw Luis dead.
Yeah. Oh, it was. It was. To me, it was like, God damn it.
But listening to Daniel like translate it all was awesome.
That was awesome. Yeah.
I love the way that they do stick with the Spanish on the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Although I got to say, they got to pick a different font for the subtitles or something.
Yeah, I agree. It is really hard
to read. Yes.
It's like a real con. It's white and it's like a condensed font.
Yeah.
So it might as well be like just lines. I can't read it.
They don't really understand the choice of font on that show. That's for sure. Because you're right, man. That's the wrong font for readability.
I was looking at Kim. I was like, what did that say? And I have to say, like, maybe I'm getting old or something, but I was like, God, man, I can't read any of it. And this is embarrassing.
Yeah, no, you're right, man. I thought about it too. At one point, I was just like, God, you know, don't go so fast. I have a hard time reading this thing.
There was another incident during that scene where Maddie shows her respect and friendship towards Strand, and that's when they're all in the wheelhouse, or they're all down below in the engine room. Yeah,
the hold.
And. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She hears Strand and them upstairs, and she said, I can't remember what happened, but she said, careful, Victor. And she used his first name instead of Strand. And that shows that she's familiar with him.
No, you're absolutely right. That's a good catch. I didn't even think about that. That's, she's definitely changed the dynamic between them.
Yeah. And what's up with Nick's hair? It's still so greasy and slicked back.
Lisa slicked back.
Yeah, when he was showing the flashbacks of him on the very first episode of season one, his hair looked so much better that day.
I have to say, though, how much time's passed? Because his hair has grown like 6 inches.
Yes, it has. I noticed that too.
Well, there's, there was a serious amount of flashbacks in this episode. That was for sure. So. I didn't know if necessarily Nick's flashback was really that impactful to the story, but I thought let me ask you this, what did you guys think about the symbolism of the owl?
That was a weird one. First of all, I thought it was a dick move that Daniel threw that coin overboard.
It didn't make any sense at all, did it?
No, that was just being mean.
The only thing I could figure, I don't know if you know what the symbolism of the owl is.
Muerta.
Well, yeah, the owl is considered the guardian of the underworld.
Right.
And protector of the dead. Only thing I can figure is that Daniel recognized it for what it was and does not like that.
Right.
And that's why he threw it into the ocean.
Right.
But super dick move to a guy's dying.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, especially since he just requested it be returned to his mom.
Right. In a nice way. I mean, this guy hadn't displayed any kind of craziness or anything. I mean, he's been great.
Yeah, and Daniel doesn't know his mother from Adam, so
right.
I didn't understand.
Pretty uncool.
But I mean, I think you're right, though. I think he definitely he knew what that symbol meant, and it's probably old folklore, Mexican folklore, and you know, we don't normally, I mean, we don't really understand it ourselves, but it means something paranormal.
Well, and we never associate, in our culture in the U.S., we never associate the owl with anything that would be underworld or negative.
Right, because we think of it as being towards wisdom.
Right. Exactly. Right. Or, yeah, getting to the center of a Tootsie Roll Pop.
Yes, there's that.
Right.
That's how I learned how to do it.
How many licks does it take?
It was 16. I just know that. Yeah, no doubt. But, you know, I think the owl motif is prevalent in the Spanish culture.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it actually dates back. I could be wrong. I think I read where it actually dates back to the Egyptians.
You read up on it?
Really?
Yeah.
Good for you.
I just wanted to find out what the owl symbolism meant, because I wasn't quite sure. Because, you know, they spent a lot of time showing that owl, the carved owl in the tree.
That one in the tree was creepy.
Yeah. So it was important. You know,
its eyes moved. Did you see its eyes move?
No, it didn't.
No, I missed that. I saw it flip me off. That was pretty cool.
Stop staring at me.
Stop
just
staring at me.
Hanging out in my tree.
Move on. There's nothing to see here. Just dead people.
Oh my God.
So what do you think about how easily they got away from the
Mexican authorities?
The Mexican authorities.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point. I mean,
Strand said, "Oh, they must think that, you know, what's on the beach is going to be more dangerous than." Or is going to get us, I guess, before anything else. So,
yeah, I thought that was kind of a reach.
Yeah, and I think Kim was alluding to that earlier, that it just seemed like it was a little too easy for them to get away.
It was way
The Mexican. Yeah, I think the Mexican authorities would keep pursuing them.
Yeah, and
I mean, good God, they lost two of their people.
Exactly.
Unless it was time for a siesta.
Oh, good point.
And a siesta.
That is a real good. Was it like at 2 in the afternoon when it happened?
That's right. Possibly.
No, but I think the idea that whatever is on land is going to kill them, that seemed pretty weak.
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously things haven't gone well in Mexico as in the U.S.
Well, yeah. But
everything seemed fine until Celia got involved.
Yeah.
She seemed to screw everything up. She killed the whole congregation.
Right.
Which ended up killing Thomas.
Right.
So, well,
yeah, who bit Thomas? Do you know who bit Thomas?
Probably the priest.
Probably the pastor.
Yeah, yes. The pastor when he was hugging him. I have a feeling he's the one who bit him.
Okay, but wait.
Yeah, the bite marks matched. Huge mouth. That was a huge mouth.
He had the jaws on him.
I still have a question about the soldiers.
Yes.
The police. What are they really protecting Mexico from? If they are going to just let them go and allow them to go on shore, what are they protecting the country from?
I agree. I don't know.
Just there to get the gold? Is that all they care about? Which seems like a very stereotypical rendition of Mexican police, you know, taking a
because
bribe
it was
and
obvious
stuff.
It was obvious that the people had hunted down the walkers and killed them, because that's what Celia was alluding to, is that they were being treated as monsters and they were hunting them down. So that implies that there was some kind of organization going on in Mexico. So why would the authorities think that things are so bad on land? Because we, like you said, we didn't see any walkers until we saw the congregation.
Right.
Yeah, and there was nothing wrong with them. Prior to
right, they were fine before that. So obviously they've been hunting down and killing the walkers.
Mm-hmm.
They knew to do that. So, you know, it seems to me it was still better than the United States.
Yeah.
It was much more civilized.
True.
But like you said, why would the Border Patrol kind of deal with it like that? That didn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, and if it was even the Border Patrol, I guess it was Border Patrol.
Yeah,
I guess
it was Border Patrol.
At start, I didn't think it was. He knew one guy, and all of a sudden, two guys are coming over.
Well, it said something on the boat, like police or something like that on the boat.
Policia.
So, yeah.
Gold exchange.
Yep. Yep.
So, yeah, so they actually get up to the...
What's the exchange rate? Two heads for a bar.
Yeah, that's right. So they actually get up to that the church, and they're having to kill all the walkers. Can I say everyone learned how to kill the infected people really quickly?
They were on board, baby.
Well, they conveniently had a nice stash of weapons on the ground right there for them to pick up.
Well, the parishioners dropped them off when they went eye bleeding.
Yeah, they had a whole pile of them. They were getting ready to go kill somebody anyways, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you're right. You're right. Our gang has gotten really all of a sudden comfortable with wiping out walkers.
Especially Alicia. She was jumping in there, stabbing people in the head like nobody's business.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, Ophelia was too, right?
Yep. Ophelia was. Travis was. I think Maddie was struggling.
Ophelia come in and kill someone that Daniel was hesitant at? Or?
Yeah. Because the boy. Yeah. We haven't talked about that yet.
That's right.
Daniel's vision. Of the when he had the little altar boy who had gone eye bleeding.
Oh, that's right. Because he was flashing back to something that happened in his past.
Yeah,
too.
There was he flashed back to someone holding a kid by the throat,
which was himself holding a kid by the throat.
Yeah, looked like himself. Right?
Maybe, or maybe it was him being held by the throat as a kid.
Oh, good twist.
That's the other thing I thought about. Yeah. That it might have been, you know, he focused on the face of the kid. That may have been have something to do with his issues and so forth.
Hmm. Huh. Or it could be some weird arm-shaped neck brace.
Ooh, there could be. Or he could be grabbing himself at the throat.
And his arm was just huge.
It was. It was. And it was a really interesting angle for a camera.
Oh, my God.
Could have been. Could have been.
I swear to God.
Stuart, you're awful.
And you're not.
Yeah, thanks.
Way to go, Stuart.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Bringing it down.
Oh, shut up.
No, please continue.
But let's keep talking about Daniel, though. Daniel is...
messed up.
Yeah, he's messed up, but he went from being really... interesting to being very timid in some scenes in this.
Yeah.
You know? It's super in control, confident, and just squirreling away.
Yeah. That scene with him on the bed when Ophelia tried to get him to come to dinner.
What do you think he was looking at?
Tank top on. Wife beater.
Even Ophelia kind of looked in the direction that he was looking at to say, like, what's going on here, Dad?
Well, didn't he say something about his mom or her mom?
Yeah, they were talking about the fact that Cecilia was a great cook, and he said, "Well, your mom was a great cook," and he almost pointed over there, like that's where mom is, you know. And that was interesting, but to find him kind of loopy like that, and then turn around the next thing, and he's putting the pieces together about what's going on with Cecilia's camp and the cage of walkers. Was kind of odd.
Yeah, I mean, I think he seemed pretty coherent during that whole conversation with Ophelia, too. I mean, he was having an actual conversation with her, but he was just...
I thought he sounded very dreamy. I thought he sounded like he was
No, he did sound dreamy, but he was coherent. He was holding a conversation with her. He just looked like he was lost in space somewhere. Like, his attention was somewhere else, but he could still see that she was there and, you know, interact. But then it kind of got he kind of started doing that when he was with Celia at the prayer tree too, when he was watching her pray, and he got that kind of faraway dreamy look to him. I don't know what the hell was going on with that guy.
Well, it was kind of like he was slipping in and out of focus.
Yeah.
But he was definitely on point for most of the episode.
Yeah.
Because he was digging around. I did like the interaction between him and the, I guess she was a nun or nurse or something when they were taking their weapons away.
Oh, I think she was just a maid.
Well, whatever. I just thought that the interaction between those two was great when she said, okay, you can keep your gun. And then he started walking forward and she went, outside.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. That was one of the times I was like, what did she just say?
Because she was wearing a white outfit and it was white words. What are they thinking?
Stuart, send the producers ideas for great fonts that we can actually read. Yeah, please. Right.
I was like, come on, Kim, translate. Mm-hmm.
They should use the font from our Fear Me logo.
Like, shit, I didn't know we were watching Telemundo. Come on.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You're so harsh.
Stuart. But definitely Daniel in the end, though, was definitely the one confronting Celia about what the fuck was going on in Celia land.
Yes. Well, like you said, it was kind of, they both kind of have that, you know, the background of whether it be the Catholicism, which I'm not trying to say Catholicism is totally supernatural, but it delves in, you know, that similar subjects.
Right. Oh, there's definitely a lot of mythology and
yeah. Well, if you're going to be keeping saints' bones around as right. relics, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sorry you're kind of over that line.
And when you're familiar with things like the owl totem and so forth, mm-hmm. you're definitely in tune with the spirituality side of things.
Yeah, which is where Celia is coming at odds with the pastor and his congregation mm-hmm. and stuff. So
right.
But she's more comfortable with that Day of the Dead kind of stuff. So
yeah, I mean the pastor or the priest. He was actually a priest.
I'm sorry. I keep saying pastor. Priest.
Actually, you know, came to the realization, remember, because his whole argument was like, why would God do this to us? I can't see God doing this. And then he realized, mm-hmm. you know, he looked inside himself and said, God did not do this. Mm-hmm. Evil yeah. did this.
And you know what? That was a great line, because I was thinking, you know what? God didn't do this. We did this, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
It's the humans that did, at least from the theory. Is right. that, you know, we created some disease
mm-hmm.
right.
that's actually spreading through and killing all the people off. Which I was, when he said that, I was like, ah, that's
mm-hmm.
good.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think the bottom line is both Daniel and Celia are both wackadoodles. They're yeah. made for each other.
Oh, yeah.
And they need to get into like a crazy off.
And Chris.
And Chris.
We had a lot of wackadoodles in the whole show. Do we want to take a minute for a break? So let's go to a break, and when we come back, we'll talk maybe a little bit further about Chris and some other aspects of the characters that went down in the end of the episode.
Oh, we got to do a break already?
Yes.
All right.
Sorry. Okay. I have to go to the potty.
Oh, Scott. What are we going to do with you? All right.
Adult depends.
Take a break.
Okay, so do you still think that Chris is still just like a child who doesn't know what's going on in the world, or do you think there's something darker going on with him?
Well,
I don't know what the hell's going on with Chris, to be yeah. honest.
Yeah.
I was really confused by his character this time. Just where the hell he was coming from, because again, I didn't think at first I thought he was completely stunned. When he wasn't helping Maddie out, maybe Alicia was taking it wrong or something. And then when he got all aggressive with Alicia when they right. had that conversation, I was like, okay, what the hell is going on?
That was crazy.
That was really weird. It was really weird.
Well, especially since he starts the conversation with, well, what's wrong? Are you mad at me?
Yeah.
You're like,
yeah.
What? I mean, it's like he's almost...
He
not,
knows.
He's trying Hearing, to... He's trying to ignore the fact that there's something weird going on here.
Right. He knew that she wasn't happy.
Right.
And he's asking it like, oh, what's wrong?
Right.
It was like the setup of a horror movie.
Mm-hmm. Well, he kind of, you know, he kind of deflected it, too. He was like, oh, what are you talking about? That's not real. That isn't what you saw.
Yeah, but then he backs her up against the mm-hmm. wall and was like, I don't want to hurt anybody.
Well, when she said she wasn't buying it.
Well, yeah, he said, "Don't tell anybody." He was freaked out that she was gonna.
He said, "You don't know what you saw."
Right.
So don't tell anybody. You're going to be making a mistake. And that's when he started, when she was very defiant, like, you know, she starts walking out of the room and he pins her up against the wall. And that's when she said, well, what do you do if I do?
And he said, right. I don't want to hurt anybody.
Yeah, which was a creepy comeback.
Yeah,
that's, exactly.
That's stepped over the line. Yeah, that's stepped off the line. And then, of course, we end the episode with him with a knife in their room with Maddie and Alicia. I thought it was curious why he called out Alicia's name when he came in there. Could have been just to see if anybody was awake or
that's what I figured.
Did you?
Yeah.
Just wonder if there's something else.
Okay, so I saw an article by the showrunner, Dave Erickson. Entertainment Weekly is doing interviews with him like every week now after every single episode. And they asked him about the whole Chris thing. And he's still saying that Chris is just a disturbed child. Like, he just doesn't know how to handle what's going on in the apocalypse. And that when he went in the bedroom, when Madison and
Alicia,
thank you, were sleeping, he was going to talk to her about that stuff again. And that he didn't really mean any harm to her. And that when he did confront her in the living room, that he was just trying to get her to understand that he didn't mean anything by it and that he's purely innocent. I'm calling bullshit.
Yeah, I am too, big time. You don't say like, I don't want to hurt somebody.
Yeah.
I would have to say, if that's the truth, then the showrunner is screwing up.
And I agree without a doubt. And I'll tell you this too, when he got caught with the butcher knife, okay? Number one, that was a very conveniently said butcher knife, but let's not go there. but when he got caught with the butcher knife.
You mean in the bedroom? In the bedroom?
Yeah. Yeah, in the bedroom.
Okay.
You could see he almost was calculating, what can I do with this?
Yes.
Before they said, get the hell out of here.
Yes.
See, he was looking at him.
I have to say, when he got caught with that, he looked like an innocent kid at that point. Like, to me, like,
I don't think he looked like he was.
He looked like he was just being stupid and picked that thing up. Like, he didn't mean to do anything with it.
Why would you pick it up?
Yeah, see, who knows? Dave Erickson said that the reason he picked it up is because he realized that they were using that as protection against him and that he was the reason that they were afraid. And
well, good thing he's explaining that after the show.
Yeah, I was going to say,
you could pick that up out of the show.
Do you, you know, the showrunner for this show, do you really think they're going to give you that information out?
He's given out stupid information before.
Oh, he's given out misinformation. I mean, come on.
I don't know about misinformation. He's spoiled some stuff before. I don't like Dave Erickson. I don't know him as a person, but I don't like him as the showrunner. I don't like him as the showrunner. He's not very good.
Well, he's done a good job this season.
He has.
Okay.
It's been a wonderfully fast-paced and very provocative episodes. Kim?
That could be true, but he did put in...
I love Dave Erickson.
I want to have his children.
I do too.
He put that scene in last week that... With the hoods, you know, with the hooded prisoners that was supposed to not be from the comic book, but yet it is a scene from the comic book. And then this season, this episode, we have a repeat of Herschel's farm with a barn full of walkers. So he can't come back.
I thought in the terms of this world that's called playing homage.
No. He can't come back and say, see, this is why it's not playing homage to the Walking Dead. Because last episode, he said that it had nothing to do and it was pure coincidence with that scene out of the comic book. And so he can't come back this time and say that he did not know that that happened in the show and that this is pure coincidence. I mean, come on.
I think what we're learning from Dave Erickson is that he's not going to get you the straight poop. Some of the stuff he says may have been slips, and some of this, and he's hiding it within falsities.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't put a whole lot of credence in what he's saying. I mean, Scott Gimple doesn't give you this kind of info.
That's what I'm saying. He should keep his mouth shut.
Gimple would say something like, "Well, we don't know what his motivation is yet."
Exactly.
You know.
Don't explain the entire episode to us. Let us use our imagination. We're not stupid.
Yeah, we are. But yes, let us use it anyway. You are. Oh, ouch. Mommy.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
No, you're not.
No, I am. Whatever. Oh, my God. But no, he doesn't.
Kim.
I love you, too.
I love you, Kim.
But he doesn't need to give us that much information.
I agree.
He needs to have more respect for his, for the viewers.
Oh, I think he's screwing with us.
Well, he better be screwing hard. Because...
That's what she said.
It needs to have a good twist.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I got nothing. Yeah. I got nothing to that.
Yeah, let that one lie.
Oh my goodness.
That's all I'll say about that.
Okay, but I do think I still don't have a clue what's going on with Chris. I like you, Stu, I'm just kind of like, what the fuck, man? You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see, even if he's...
he's taking after his dad in that way, I guess. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
The both of them.
Exactly. But, I mean, I would think if he hears a gunshot going off and he's in the room with the ladies, he's going to put the knife down.
Well, he took off, that's for sure.
Yes. But they had to yell at him twice to get him to take off. It wasn't like he took off as soon as it happened. He thought about it.
Shock.
You know what was really funny? I'd like to get away from Chris for a second. Is when that gunshot went off, it was extremely loud.
Yes.
Oh my
for
God.
A pillow shot.
Exactly.
For a pillow shot. Yes.
Who muffles a gunshot with a pillow and it is still that loud?
Everybody heard it.
Again.
I didn't see Celia, though.
No.
I don't know if she heard it.
Oh, she heard it.
Mm-hmm.
We find out next episode that she heard it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think the you know, if you want to talk about that situation, I mean, I think that whole final area with Thomas and Strand was very fascinating, actually, because I mean, I know we speculated last week about whether Strand really loved Thomas or if he was just using him. I think we learned in this episode he was really loving him, because I mean he looked frantic when they came into the village and he couldn't find him.
Yes.
And and then you could see it really crushed him.
What a huge character shift though for that guy.
Yeah.
That, you know, who were introduced with this guy who we think cares nothing about the human race or anybody else. He's just looking for whoever he can take advantage of.
Right.
And yet he's like completely in love with this other guy in Mexico.
Right.
That were just introduced. It's huge shift in dynamic for what his character is.
I also thought it was very interesting that we get the revelation that he knew about Cecilia's dead walkers. Because remember, he mentions at the point when he was talking to Thomas about committing suicide, and he said, "Remember, Celia will watch over us."
Oh yeah.
So okay. he was aware of Celia keeping these people alive.
Yep, you're right. I didn't even pick up on that.
I didn't either. I thought that meant that she would watch them as they were dying.
Yeah. So he knew about it. He knew about the whole compound and what Celia was doing. As did Thomas, of course.
And that explains why she seemed so excited about it, too.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, I'll have two more friends.
Yeah, for her collection, doll collection.
Well, she obviously valued the lives of the Walking Dead over real lives. Because, you know, she wiped out the congregation to save the Walking Dead.
Yep. I mean, she said it was the next step.
Yeah.
To what? I don't know what the hell she was thinking. But
the next step in our spiritual evolution is eating each other.
Yeah, right. It was very. It's odd.
That was a reach.
Well, and then she also got so upset with Strand when he doesn't follow through with his obligation.
Well, with his promise, right?
Well, we'll find out more about that.
But you know, the other thing that I don't think we mentioned was that she was excited when she heard that Luis was not shot in the head.
Right. She said he'll find his way back to me.
Exactly. She was like, well, he's not, it's like everything's not lost.
Right.
Which reminds me of Pet Sematary.
Mm-hmm.
I kept thinking mm-hmm. about that kid Gage.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Which is the creepiest movie ever.
Yes. Creepiest book ever.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's definitely, yeah, I think that scene is when she stated that, you know, about he'll find his way back, that that let the cat out of the bag.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, as to her intentions.
I mean, I know
correct.
At that point, yeah, I knew at that point that she was keeping walkers.
You did?
Yeah. I knew she was gone Herschel on that because she considered them still alive.
She's gone Herschel.
Yeah. Yep.
I didn't pick up on that until they actually showed it to us. Mm. Or we saw the boy putting the poor dog down the chute.
Okay, I gotta ask you this. Why in the hell were those walkers so quiet until Daniel stepped into the room? Because, I mean, the walkers are all there with the kid, and they're not making any noise.
Oh, that's yeah. true. And
then Daniel
like
walks in, and
all
of a sudden, it's like...
Oh, I know.
They're clearing their throats.
They were stealth
They're
walkers.
They're gnawing on dog.
They were stealth walkers. They don't get acted up about a little morsel like a boy. They
yeah,
want a
they
man.
Had, they had a yellow lab to chew on.
You know, it really had to smell good in that cage. Wow.
Yeah, I was not seeing that coming, that's for sure. And that's probably why, Scott, like you said, is he was just talking to the kid right there. And all of a sudden, it's like, whoa, shit, there's like walkers right there.
I knew like, there was walkers there. That's why it made me think of, wow, they're really quiet.
Yeah.
Daniel didn't seem so surprised either.
No. They should have had like party hats on or something. Surprise! Yeah.
He went down there because, you know, he heard what Celia was saying, and then he saw the kid parachute that dog down the shaft. He was like, what the hell was that?
Was that the same kid?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the okay. kid who was talking to his mom about juggling.
Yeah.
All right.
I think he said he had it up to 32 balls now. I was very
48
impressed.
Or something like that. Yes. Yes.
What? That's yes. crazy.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Now we're talking crazy town.
I know. But the fact that Celia, you know, after Daniel comes back and confronts her about the shed full of walkers, when she pretty much alludes to the fact that she's not afraid of the dead, who is, that makes her like the most scariest person on the show right now because she could care less about anything.
Well, she considers the dead just as alive as the people.
Right, and just as important.
Right.
If not more, mm-hmm. as the people. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited to see what she does next week. And right. and also, like, why does the household staff follow her? Is it because, I mean, I guess she's kind of like a maternal figure to everybody that's on the compound?
Well, I think they believe what she's saying. I think they believe that those... And they're the dead that she's got locked up and so forth are their relatives.
True, and she's taking right. care of them.
Right. You know, they all, like she said, they're all people that used to work on the ranch and their families and so forth. So they all know the people down there.
Yeah.
So I think they're on board with her theory that they're still alive. They wanna think that they're still alive. So that's why they're in this encampment.
Uh-huh.
Or they're completely scared shitless ever, as I am starting to be.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, she's going to be a formidable character, I think.
Yeah, you know what? Coming out of the episode, I didn't think that she actually was going to be that big of a character going forward. But thinking about it a little bit more now, she's set up to be a pretty tough character.
But the trend this season, though, has been going through those what we assume are going to be big characters pretty fast.
Yeah.
I know. They've gone through a lot.
She may be out of the picture the next episode.
Right.
Well, I would assume she would be because, I mean, they better kill her.
Unless that's part of the cliffhanger that's going to end the mid-season
finale.
I
don't know. I mean, she could she be part of the group going forward?
I don't
know.
She's too evil.
I think she's too evil, yeah.
She's too wacky doodle.
Yeah, they won't let her in there.
Right. Yeah.
No way.
They... Even though Nick really sounds like he wants to believe what she's saying.
Right.
But, you know, it leads me to think, though, why, you know, Nick really seemed like he liked the idea of thinking that they're still alive, but why would he want to think that if he just cleaved this little girl's head? You know, and they've been killing the
undead. That's a good point. That's a good point.
Why would he want to think that they're alive?
Right. You would think the first thing he would want to think is of some excuse as to why he needed to kill them.
Right. Yeah. They were dead. Yeah. They were dead already. So.
But I mean, is that
I don't know.
Is that why he had that flashback to Gloria? And since Gloria never died again, he somehow thinks she's still alive? Like, her soul is still alive?
I love the fact that you remembered her name was Gloria.
Oh, thank you. I'm good with names.
You are. You are. That was very impressive.
Thanks.
Yeah. I mean, or it could be maybe he's trying to justify why he feels so guilty over cleaving the little girl's head.
Yeah.
That maybe they're alive and that's why he feels guilty about it.
Huh.
I don't know. I don't know.
I have no idea.
It's going to be an interesting resolution to that.
Yeah. I have to ask, do Mexican zombies eat refried brains?
Oh, goodness. That was really horrible. Really?
Just like the Italians eat brain pizza.
Oh.
That was terrible.
It's not fresh. You cooked it, you idiot.
No, I'm sorry.
God.
Yeah, that was really terrible.
Bad stench. I know,
that
air.
Was awful.
So, were there any other notes that you guys had about the episode, or any other comments?
My refried brains thing was the only last note I had.
That's a pretty.
You were
good
waiting
one.
The entire thing to say that, weren't you?
No, I just thought of that. I was kidding.
God.
I was a little disappointed that the name of the episode came down to the altar boys singing that at the start, and that was it.
No, what it did, it didn't. I mean, it came down to, I'd have to go back and read the translation of the psalm or read the psalm again, but I think it had something to do with the fact that you're drawing upon God to give you power to fight evil.
I thought it had to do with the deer.
Oh.
It was about the deer, but I mean, further on, there's more to it. It's not just the first line.
Yeah, it was like goats eating salt or something.
What?
No, it was the deer. The deer is drawn to water or something.
Right.
Yeah. But when I think of deer, I always think of salt licks. I don't know why.
Oh, my.
Well,
so, what do we expect?
My brain goes.
I just want to ask this. What do we expect next week?
I don't know. I expect that they're going to have some sort of fight going on with Celia and her staff.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what could come of it. I'm hoping maybe Chris gets killed off.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's going to happen, but
I don't either.
But that would be nice. It's the end of the season. I can't believe it's the end of the season. To be honest. So.
Yeah. Well, mid season. We'll yep.
Yeah. Because we're off for a couple months for the summer. So, yeah, there's a lot that could happen.
I still think that there's a lot in the final episode that will further establish Madison as the leader of the group, and that Strand is beholden upon her.
I think now that Strand is in mourning, he's going to lean on her a little bit more for guidance and for support.
Yep. And she'll help him, and he'll realize that.
And then maybe the two of them will hook up.
Yeah.
And Travis will get booted out of the picture. He'll get thrown down in the dungeon.
I think it wouldn't surprise me a whole lot if we find out Chris causes Travis to get killed.
Oh, that would be good.
Because of something he does.
That would be really good.
You know, and then something would happen to Chris. I mean, Chris would be driven away or something would happen to him. He wouldn't be able to stick with the group after that.
Well, we see on the premiere, or on the commercial for next week that he disappears.
Chris?
Mm-hmm.
Run away,
really?
Little boy.
I didn't catch that.
I didn't catch that either.
He's, you know what? He could take off and create his own rogue group that comes and fights them.
He could be the Merle group.
I just don't see that happening. Chris doesn't seem like the group builder.
No.
Maybe the town crier, but...
The jester.
You'd be surprised, Scott.
Nah. No, I see Chris... I see Chris dying in that situation in some way. I don't know. He gets rolled over by a tank or something like that.
Well, alrighty then.
Well, I think we're at the point in the show that we are expecting maybe one of the major characters to step out.
Well, that's what I was saying. And next week would be the perfect opportunity because it's this mid-season finale.
Because we are, in essence, a year into the show.
Yep.
Because it was 6 episodes last time. We're up to, 7 so far this session?
Yep.
Yeah.
So we're about a year into the show and we've had, I don't think that in as fast paced as this has been going... It certainly makes sense.
Yeah, do you have any, picks that would be out of the ordinary that you think might happen? Chris is an easy one. Travis is an easy one.
Yeah, I think they're too obvious. I mean, they're obvious. I don't think they're too obvious.
If Travis got killed off, I think that'd be actually pretty tragic, though I think analyzing his character has not really got a lot behind him. Do you think there's anybody else that could get knocked off? Like, could they knock off Alicia? I don't think they could, but...
No. No, I don't think Daniel? Alicia...
Daniel could go. That would be a big death.
I still think there's more to Daniel. I think there's more we're going to see about Daniel. I don't see a whole lot of backstory to Travis. I think Travis's story's been told.
I saw a lot more to, Luis.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly.
If they knock Daniel off... I think that would be a pretty big one. I feel it would come out as something more.
Yeah, and I think it would be, I think, again, harpens back to what I was saying about Madison's position. Madison would have a whole new realm of motivation. And she may even feel incredibly guilty because she didn't give to Travis what he wanted.
God, what if they knock Madison off?
Not going to happen. Wouldn't happen.
That's not gonna
happen. I know it's not going to happen, but what if they did?
Well, then the show would really lose direction.
Yeah, it would.
It would shake it all up.
Yeah, I would really have a tough time figuring out who would grasp the ring on that one. Maybe Daniel. I don't know, but Daniel's got too many voices. So. Daniel is a team, though, in his own head.
Yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
I think that Alicia is going to step up more.
I think she already is.
And I think Ophelia might, too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that's very telling, though, that you guys are like that. Up on, or not up on, that you think that Madison is that important a character now. Because a few episodes ago, I don't think that you had that feeling.
Right.
I mean, we were all feeling kind of like Nick and Strand were kind of leading the whole group.
Right.
And Madison and Travis were kind of in limbo.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right. I think the last episode, Madison's really stepped up in the authority department.
Right.
Even to the point of putting Strand in his place.
Yep.
And I think that's made all the difference. And Strand's acknowledged that. I mean, what did he say? When Thomas said to, she knocked on the door and Thomas said to him, "Do we like her?"
Uh-huh.
Like that. And he said, "She's formidable. Right. Come in."
He said, yeah.
He's got a lot of respect for her.
She's a bit fierce. That's what he said.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
And he's got a lot of respect for her. He was almost like humorously saying that.
Of course.
And man, let me tell you, other than James Earl Jones, where have you heard such a good voice as Strand's?
Oh, I know.
Oh my God. His voice is incredible.
He could rock your world.
I'm not going to go there, but... He could certainly announce a baseball game just perfectly.
Yes.
Before this episode, though, I didn't think the Thomas character was going to be quite as gentle as he was.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought he was going to have more confrontations with people in this episode, not just die.
Well, I tell you, that's a good point, Stu. You know what? I even wrote down... One of the disappointments I had with Thomas dying is that... I wanted to see him as in his Lord of the Manor mode.
Same here.
You know, instead we got to see him as a dying king.
Yep.
Right.
And you know, I kind of just wanted to see him loftily moving about his compound,
commanding.
I really wanted to see him butt heads with Celia more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
About the whole Walker thing and keeping the Walkers on the compound, right, and that sort of
and
thing.
And I think he was to an extent, but we didn't get to see enough of it.
I know.
Well, and I thought he was going to be butting heads with Maddie coming into this thing.
Heck yeah. But I wanted to see that too.
Anyways, that was one of our predictions from last week that didn't come to fruition. That's all right.
No. But we certainly did not, you know, I think we were thinking that they were going to get to a comfortably moving compound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was protecting itself, and we got to a compound that was quite on the bidi-bidi-bidi. That's all, folks. Well,
yeah, and I've seen that question kind of bounced around with Twitter as people were asking, like, so are they going to get comfortable here? And I don't see that happening at all. I see
they're
them
back on the boat,
on.
Baby.
Yeah, they're moving on quick, yeah, especially with Celia.
Yes, yes, they're boat people again.
Yep.
All right. Well, we do have some listener feedback.
Yeah, we had OTH Madagascar wrote us back again and said Daniel's craziness is somehow related to Luis and his mother. I knew it. Well, part of it at least. I thought he wanted to mess with Daniel and the group in the long term to get rid of them. Hmm. So I guess what Madagascar is saying is that Luis was intentionally creating this craziness with Daniel. You know, Daniel hearing voices and that sort of thing.
I want Madagascar to explain that a little bit further. I'm intrigued. So? I'm intrigued. I want to know what he's... what exactly he means by that.
Because, well, maybe there's a little witchcraft behind it all. Maybe.
But I don't think that Luis had anything to do with what's going on with Daniel. Because Daniel was experiencing these things before Luis ever came into the picture.
There definitely seems to be kind of a connection culturally, between Daniel and Celia. And possibly Luis as well, obviously. Daniel saw the owl and flicked the coin over. Right. So, you know, there's some cultural aspect to what's going on with the characters in, you know, from the Latin side of it that we may not know.
Obviously, Daniel thought it was bullshit. That's why he threw the coin overboard.
Yeah, he was not happy about it. That's for sure.
Well, let us know if you can expand on that a little bit. But I don't think there's a connection.
Yeah.
I'm going to contact Madagascar again and see if we can get a little bit more explanation on this.
Because, I mean, it is intriguing what he's saying. I would like to get
and tell us
more
if you're
definition.
Male or female.
Yeah, because, yeah, we say he, but it could be he or she.
Right.
Especially when it's hashtag like a girl. I have a feeling it's probably not a he.
Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, that would have been pertinent information a little bit earlier.
Obviously, Madagascar is pretty... she is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe she's a soccer player.
Well,
what?
Like a girl. We have another one. Kara Craig wrote in through Facebook, and she said, "Hello, my favorite fear trio. I'm listening to your Captive podcast right now and wanted to send in a quick feedback. I really don't think Connor is dead. They were deliberate in showing he was bit on the outside of his forearm, and Alicia's boy toy Jack was watching from above. So I think the next time we see Connor, Jack, and Alex, we will see a very pissed off trio led by Connor with an amputation of his left arm. Now that's an interesting idea."
Consider that.
I know, I hadn't either. And then she went on to say, "I'm warming up to Chris a little. His character is becoming more interesting and complex, as annoying as teen angst can be. He isn't the worst teen on television right now. Paige on the American title, on the Americans, takes that title, in my opinion. I do think..."
I don't know who that is, but that's
I know,
awesome.
I don't watch that show either, but I've heard it's pretty good. But she said, "I think it's interesting what they are doing with the Chris character." So, yeah, I do think Chris is still... he's just a lost teenager who has no idea what side is up. since he lost his mom, and his dad is not supporting him the way he needs him to support him. But I do think he's going a little wacky.
Now, was this comment before this last episode?
Yes. Yeah, this was when last week when our captive episode came out.
Yeah, still, so there's even more development with Chris.
Yeah, I still don't know what Chris's motivation for all this stuff is, to tell you the truth.
Well, and that's where it kind of completely threw me for a loop when he confronted Alicia and said, "I don't want to hurt anyone." Like,
right. That was the response that steps over the line.
Yeah, you know what else was weird? Is when he was saying that and he was facing Alicia and you're in the back of his head.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
His jaw's not moving.
That's right.
Like, during that scene, his mouth was not moving.
So he really wasn't saying it? Was that bad editing?
It was a very bad edit. It was a terrible edit. Kim and I were like, "What? Wait, he's not actually talking right." And she was responding back.
That's awesome. That's great.
So what do you think about the idea of Connor having an amputation and coming back?
Well, it's possible. It's certainly possible.
Who would have amputated? I guess Jack is what she's saying. But Jack was like way up on top.
Yeah, Jack would have had to Spider-Man down pretty much.
Yeah, because the other guy got his neck ripped out.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't think... Well, we thought Alex was on the Abigail, but obviously that's not the case either.
No. But Alex is in pursuit.
Yeah, so maybe next episode? Probably not even next episode. I bet we don't see them again until next half of the season.
I still don't think we see them. I think we see Alex.
Yeah.
By herself.
Yeah.
Now, we may see... what's his name?
Who's Connor?
The boy toy? Yeah.
Jack.
Tobias.
Jack. We may see Jack at a later date.
Tobias.
I think we may see Jack at a later date, but I don't think we see Jack and Alex together. I think Alex split when she was talking to Travis.
Yeah, I do too.
She was talking about, "Hey, I'm getting out of here."
Uh-huh. Huh. Interesting. Well, I cannot wait to see. So, thank you to all of you for writing in. So, keep writing in. And if you do, we will read your comments on air. So
Kim, do we have any news?
Yes, we do. The biggest one is that Preacher starts next Sunday.
Yeah.
There's going to be a 90-minute premiere right after the season mid-season finale for Fear. So I cannot wait. Cause that looks
so
really
no Talking
good.
Dead.
No, there will be a Talking Dead. Mm-hmm. But it will be after...
It'll be seriously late night.
Preacher, right. And so this is weird, too, because Preacher is now getting its own talking preacher, I guess is what they're going to call it, talking preacher. And they are going to re-air the premiere of Preacher on May 29th, so the week after the premiere.
Okay.
And then that's when Talking Preacher will premiere. Does that make sense?
No.
So it'll actually happen after Fear the Walking Dead, but then they're going to re-air it the next week so that Chris Hardwick can talk about it?
Correct. Yes.
Okay.
Correct. Yes.
That makes little sense. But that's okay. I don't care.
It's a little odd.
Okay. And then Talking Preacher won't air every Sunday. It'll only air for the premiere and for the finale, which will be July 31st, which is also our anniversary, incidentally.
Oh, how about that?
Yes.
Stu, did you remember that?
No, I gotta write that down.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, every preview I see a Preacher makes me want to watch that even more.
I know.
The show looks funny. It looks crazy. Scary. Oh, yeah.
Well, the funny part was the part that actually shocked me. I was like, wait, this is what did it? Because before, like, everything was had a little bit, a little bit more horror kind of feel to it.
Well, I love that preview they're showing right now with the guy talking on the toilet. And he's trying to give like a sit rep as to what's going on. And he's like, well, we ran into a minor problem, but it was very successful. Man. And the other guy's like, no, it was major. Like, well, we ran into a major minor problem, but it's all. And he's like, no, that's just a major. I thought it looked great. And then the guy, of course, ends up with saying, oh, I kind of messed the middle part up.
It's like our recordings.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I think it looks like that show's got a great sense of humor and is definitely gonna be wicked. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I can't wait.
We may have to do a cast on it sometime.
Okay, I'd be cool with that.
I'm up for it.
Okay.
Like one for every episode or just like an overall?
That's what we'll have to figure out.
All right. Well,
I do think we need to give Stuart a little bit of a break after our mid-season finale.
Thank God. Thank you, Scott.
So maybe we'll go a couple episodes into priest before Ooh. We preacher before we actually do our show.
Okay. Maybe. Sounds good. The other thing is I was poking around on the AMC website today, and I was on the Fear the Walking Dead page just looking around, and came across this segment, or it's like an extra type thing, called Radio Waves. Have you guys seen this or heard about it?
Mm-mm. No.
I couldn't even actually find it on their page. It was really weird. I had to actually search on Google for each of these episodes. But they're individual episodes of people talking on a radio, like they're on the boat and they're talking back and forth. And
you mean from the show?
No. This is like a whole new thing, like a webisode type thing.
Right. But I mean, but it's applying to the Fear Me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or Fear of the Walking Dead.
Fear of the Walking Dead. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not everything applies to us, Scott.
No, I know that. But I mean, it's produced by those folks and all.
Yeah. But there's no really? Visual. There's no images. All you see is the voice lines, like radio lines, you know, going across the screen. Right. And then you hear their communication to each other.
Where did you find this?
I came across it when I was Googling Fear the Walking Dead. And then I went on the AMC website and I couldn't actually find like a section for it. So I had to Google it again. And then I came up with all these different episodes. There's like 5 different episodes.
So you probably get it through the AMC website then.
You're supposed to be able to, but I can't figure out how. But anyways.
That's interesting. You've
been doing a lot of Googling, have you?
I've been Googling a lot.
Get your Google on.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought I saw them advertise that on the AMC website.
Did you?
But... Well, I saw a tagline for something.
Well,
but I would definitely like to check it out because I loved Flight 462. I thought it was a great installment to the show. And I would love for them to continue doing something like that.
Well, one of the episodes is between a guy named Jack and a guy named Frank Swantek. And I won't tell you what they talk about if you're going to look them up.
Good.
And then the other episodes focus on a woman named Rachel and a man named Devin, and it appears to be some sort of relationship between the two of them. But at least there's been at least 3 episodes released, maybe 4. No, 3. There's been 3 episodes released from those, just that focus on those two people. And it sounds like it's going to be continuous, but I couldn't find any information about like how many they're supposed to be or how often they're releasing them or anything.
Did it seem like though it was had any implication on the show itself?
No, I don't think it has anything to
completely
do with it.
Completely separate.
Just something extra.
So it's not our it's not our Jack.
It
but
could
it still
be,
gives you some background
it could be
about
our Jack.
What's happening out there, right?
It could be our Jack. And yes, it is giving a lot of background about what's going on. So
I'll have to check that out. That sounds cool. Yeah. I didn't know
it's
about
called
that.
Nice
grab.
Called Radio Waves.
Is that all our news for tonight, Kimmy?
Yes, it is.
All right. Well, next week on Fear the Walking Dead, Season 2, Episode 7 is Shiva. The family faces its biggest test yet. Nick, Madison, Travis, and the others try to stay close to each other. I don't know what else to say about that.
So I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that there's like a tiger involved in this episode, or what?
Oh,
this is another homage to The Walking Dead, is what I'm thinking.
A tiger. Okay.
There's.
All right.
Okay.
I'm speechless.
You guys don't read the comics.
No.
But there is a man named Ezekiel in the comics who has a pet tiger named Shiva.
Oh, seriously?
Seriously.
So wait, he's totally pulling from the comics then, right?
And well, if that's the case, I mean, we don't know. We don't know what Shiva applies to.
We don't, but that's just a little coincidental.
I can't remember. What does Shiva, what does Shiva mean in Indian culture?
She's a goddess, isn't she?
Yeah, but I don't remember which. A goddess of death?
I don't know.
Okay, start clicking, Kim.
I am. I'm on it, babes.
Click, 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 click.
Yeah, I think Shiva is the goddess of death. I could be totally wrong, but maybe they're describing Cilia.
Oh, maybe. Shiva is regarded as limitless, transcendent, unchanging, and formless.
Yeah, I thought Shiva was like many armed, many heads.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know Shiva was the trophy on the show The League about fantasy football. But that really has nothing to do with it.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah, no, I haven't seen that show. Is that good?
Yeah, excellent. It is so freaking funny, man.
I heard it was funny.
The League. You got to watch it. Kim, you'd even enjoy it. It doesn't have, you know, it's fantasy football, but it is a riot. It is absolute
good
riot.
Good Lord, help us. Okay. So, yeah, that's all it says.
Okay.
Well, the Transformer. Ooh. But yeah, so I'm just going to say that that's some sort of homage to The Walking Dead too.
It's so a mid-season finale though. So yes. I mean 2 months off.
Yeah.
Just call it the finale. Start a new season.
Yeah. Whatever.
Well, they can't.
Mm-hmm. It's all part of the same season.
Yeah.
They all filmed it at the same time.
Exactly.
They just string us along for an extra 2 or 3 months.
Right.
Yeah.
And then
while Kim recovers from her sniffles.
Sorry. Exactly. And in the meantime, people are still trying to figure out who Negan killed.
Right. Well, right. But it also gives us a chance to really enjoy Preacher.
Yeah.
That's true.
But you know,
I hope Negan kills Chris.
Did you hear that Steven Yeun? That would be awesome, wouldn't it?
He reaches out of one show and hits the other
show.
Yeah,
and he just leans over the camera and is like, didn't see that coming.
Fucking kid.
Did you?
What were you going to say, Kim?
Did you hear that Steven Yeun is filming a new Netflix movie that started production at the end of April?
So he's got free time? Is that what you're trying to say?
That's what I'm alluding to.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. So does Norman Reedus.
Yeah, he does.
With
his show
new
starts
show.
In June, right?
Yeah.
Yes, the motorcycle show.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Can't wait.
I know. Yeah. Lots of celebrity sightings going on right now, too. There was recently a car accident. I know this has been all over the news already, so everybody knows about it already. But there was recently a car accident in Sonoy, and Norman Reedus and Steven Yeun. Hey, wait a minute. Steven Yeun, he was there. Anyways, he stopped to help make sure everybody was okay. But that means Steven Yeun's on set.
Does that mean that they're heroes now?
Yeah, oh, yes, probably. Yes.
I hate the use of heroes for this.
Well, actually, I think the only people left in Sonoy are Walking Dead cast members now, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
They ran everybody else out. Is the cafe still there?
Of course.
There you go.
Yes.
That'll be there for a while. Mm-hmm. Okay, are you guys ready to wrap it up?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, thank you for listening to our Fear Me podcast. You can find us on Twitter, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and, of course, iTunes. You can find us on Facebook and on the web at www.fearmepodcast.com. And if you want to get in touch with us or send us your thoughts on the episode, you can email us at fearmepodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back next week to review Episode 7 of Fear the Walking Dead. So thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Yeah, looking forward to the finale.
Definitely. Looking forward to talking to you guys. See ya.